the headquarters of Ramsey Solutions, broadcasting from the Pods Moving and Storage Studios. It's the Ramsey Show, where debt is dumb, cash is king, and the paid-off home mortgage has taken the place of the BMW as the status symbol of choice. We help people do work that they love, build wealth, and create actual amazing relationships. Thank you for joining us, America. Christina Ellis, number one best-selling author and Ramsey personality, is my co-host today. Open phones at 888-825-5225. That's 888-825-5225. Natalie is in Modesto, California. Hi, Natalie. How are you?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. What's up?
Hi. So I am currently on baby step two. And for work, I am a federal employee. Because I'm a federal employee and also the position that I'm in, I am deemed essential. So in an event of a government shutdown, I would still have to work, but without a paycheck during that period of a shutdown. So with the recent talks of a government shutdown this year, which... the talk of government shutdown is always, it's always in the air every year, but this time it's actually making me a little bit nervous. So my question is, since I'm on baby step two, should I increase my starter emergency fund in case there is a government shutdown this year?
No.
No? Okay.
No, you don't ever increase your baby step emergency fund. What you might do is you might push pause on the whole dadgum thing and pile up cash. Okay. But just push pause on your whole baby steps. No baby steps at all are involved. There's a tornado coming towards our house, and we need an emergency. We need a big pile of money.
Okay, so just stop everything and pile up
cash everywhere if you think this is going to happen.
Okay.
Now,
all right.
How long have you been a federal government employee?
This is my second year, so I haven't experienced anything, you know, when it comes to the government shutdown since I joined the agency.
Go back and do a little research for yourself. How many times you've actually been shut down?
Yeah, hardly ever. Yeah,
like, I think three times in 30 years or something like that.
Yeah, and the most recent one being in January of 2019. It's just, I'm feeling a little nervous because, one, maybe it's because I'm doing this debt-free journey, and two, my coworkers are making me nervous as well. So they're in talks of, you know, raising their emergency fund, or they're saving up money in case they're doing
They're broke people.
Okay.
So what we need to decide what the real threat is. Okay, so if someone calls me up and says, our company is considering layoffs, do I stop everything and build up an emergency fund? Then the question is, what is the probability you are going to be laid off? If it's less than, if it's 50-50, yeah, stop, build up cash. If you think there's a 10% chance you're going to be laid off, this is called worrying. Just work your plan and shut up. Okay. So what do you think the probability is, after doing a little bit of research, not listening to your broke coworkers who worry about everything, but really looking at it and saying, okay, in the current political environment, what things are the same as they were during the times that the three times it did get shut down in 30 years or whatever the number is? I don't remember. I'm guessing, but it's not far off of that. And by the way, there's 14 times or 26 times that we almost did, and only three times they did. And so it's usually just a bunch of hogwash, and we keep working.
And that's my.
And if you think, you know, okay, there's a 10% chance this is going to happen, go with it. Just keep working your plan.
Hey, Natalie, how much debt do you have?
I currently, $80,000 right now.
Okay, and are you working a second job?
No, I work currently with my schedule. I'm currently working 7 days a week, and
what do you
make? It rotates every 6 months. My base salary right now is at $57,000 a year. That's my base salary, but with overtime, I'm projected to make about $105,000, $110,000 this year.
Okay, cool.
How much overtime are you doing right now?
All day long.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Again, every 6 months our schedule changes, so I'm probably going to have this schedule for the full year. So I'm doing at least 75 hours of working. 75
yeah, and you're not required to do the overtime if they shut down.
I am required.
No, not overtime.
To be more specific, I work for the USDA, so my schedule is based on the factories that mm-hmm. I work for. So if the factories are working, I work. Mm-hmm. So they are deemed essential, so I'm essential, so most 100% I'll be working overtime.
Because the reason I'm asking that is I'm thinking, like, if for some crazy scenario the government shut down, if you had a side hustle, if you had another source of income, that could be helpful.
You got no margin to do that.
Right. But with 75 hours a week, whew.
Yeah.
Yeah. And before this schedule, I had the time. But again, this the six our schedule changes from time to time. So I'm taking advantage of the schedule that I have right now.
Yeah, I get that. And you're doing you're working your butt off, girl. Way to go. I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
And that's tough. And what you're doing is a lot of hard work, too. It's not like, it's not wussy work. This is real work. So, mm-hmm. You have to decide what you think the probability with actual facts, not whiners at work, but the actual mm-hmm. probability of the shutdown is. And if you think it's 50-50, then I would stop everything and pile up cash. I personally don't think this one is 50-50.
Okay.
That's a personal opinion, but you can look at it and say, I think what's going on is the jockeying with a new Republican Congress against a Democrat Senate, and they're trying to, it's a power play. The shutdowns usually are power plays, by the way. But, you've got a president on one side, a Senate on that side, and then you've got the Republicans on the other side in the Congress. And so they're gonna push around and act like they did something, and then at the last minute they're all going to sign up. That's what they do 99% of the time, but that's just an opinion from somebody who has no respect for hardly any of those people up there. So,
Dave, I think we just need you to go to Washington
We
need you to run their budget.
There would be war.
We need you to teach them how to budget.
There would be a war. You don't want me up there.
How are we running our country at a deficit? Like, we're not doing a zero-based budget. We're doing
need a no-spend month.
Yes, we do.
In the Congress.
Come on. Let's go.
Well, then Sarah would be back off of overtime. Or Natalie, rather. I'm sorry. Oh, my goodness. Sorry about that, Natalie. Hey, you'll be okay, kiddo. I think you're okay, but you look at it and you make the judgment. Don't stop your plan based on worries, because worries are always there. But if the facts are scary, then you would stop your plan and pile up cash. That's the moral of the story for all of you facing these kinds of things. This is The Ramsey Show. Christina Ellis, Ramsey personality, number one best-selling author, is my co-host today. Thank you for joining us. Open phones at 888-825-5225. Our question of the day today is from Brian in New Mexico. You want to read it?
Yeah. My wife and I are working on baby step 2 and should be complete in less than 2 years. We're looking towards the future and worried about how we will pay for college for our 8-year-old daughter. I have an IRA worth $66,000, and I'm thinking about moving about $10,000 of it into a 529. Is this possible and or a smart thing to do? How would it affect the tax side of things if we do this? It's an interesting question. I personally, and Dave, you may have a different opinion, I would say if you're in baby step 2 right now, I would just be worried about baby step 2 and focused on that, especially with an 8-year-old daughter. paying for college, if you can do that for your daughter, that's going to be a nice gift. But given that she's 8 years old, one, you do have some margin and time to save. But also, you know, there's a lot of different ways to pay for college. There's scholarships, there's tuition, free schools. There's so many different options. And right now, I want you all to be set up, you know, getting out of debt and saving towards retirement. So I love that you're thinking about the 529. But right now, I'd be more focused on baby step two.
Exactly. Yeah. And no, you cannot move money from a 401k or an IRA to a 529, not without paying the penalties for early withdrawal. So it's not an option, number one. Number two, if it was an option, I would tell you not to do it for the same reasons Christina just did. So, yeah, let's don't do that. Work your baby steps. You're going to get to baby step five. At that point, you're going to start saving for college into a 529. And during that time, you're going to get better and better at managing money. You're going to get more and more margin because you're going to have no debt except your home when you're at baby step four, five, and six, working on paying off your house, saving for retirement, saving for your kids' college. And you're going to, you know, have more and more than you think you're going to have, because this doesn't work on a straight line. You're looking at a snapshot of your life, which is today. Life is a film strip. It's not a snapshot. It's going to, things are going to change every frame as you go along. Generally, if you're working a plan, they get better financially, generally. I mean, sometimes people have setbacks that they can't do anything about, but generally, that's what's going to happen. So,
including your income going up,
yeah,
you know, getting out of debt, hopefully eventually being in baby step seven. As you get closer to college, there's a chance that even if you don't have a huge pile of cash for, to pay for her education, you may be able to cash flow some of that.
Yeah.
You know,
now,
just
don't be adding, you shouldn't be adding right now to your 401k. You should be working your baby step two. You stop your 401k temporarily when you're in baby step two and you pay on debt, smallest to largest, and you're working that debt snowball that way. That's a big deal. And so it's smart to look ahead and be thinking, unless it causes you to get into panic mode and start doing stupid stuff. And this is on the stupid stuff list. Don't do this, okay? Even if you could, don't do it. Now, here's the other thing. Well, Christina, the other part of Christina's advice is the real answer to your question. The thing you can start working on for her college is her. Okay? For instance, we explained to our children that they were going to in-state schools. They were never really giving an option on that because it's what we're not going to overpay for college. And we didn't have any pro athletes or geniuses in the Ramsey house that got 4.0s, okay? So they were like regular kids, and they were not going to be getting academic or athletic scholarships. We did not know about Christina and the magic of scholarships in those days, and so we said, you're going to a state school. So college choice is something you can start working on today. Follow the correct football team, you know? I mean, so, you know, we don't want to be confused. And let's understand that the parents run the house, not the child. Well, my child told me they're going to, my child didn't tell me stuff. I told them stuff. That was how that works. Well, you're controlling. Yep, my money. You can count on me being controlling in that case. Yep, my kid. You can count on me being controlling. And you can tell your therapist about it when you're 30. But for right now, you're going to freaking do what I say. Okay.
Well, and also, it's important to start having these conversations about money and college, and that it costs money early on. Because I talk to parents of seniors all the time who are like, hey, I went home and I had a conversation about college being expensive with my senior, and they don't want to do anything but play video games. And I'm like, well, let's see, have they been active before? Like, have they been doing sports? Are they involved in activities? Are they active?
You know, there's hardly any scholarships for Mario.
Right, for couch potatoes.
Hardly any.
There's not a couch potato scholarship, yeah, so, y'all.
Not that I'm aware of. There's a lot of scholarships, but I'm not aware of that one.
Right, and so, and it's like they don't, and then
so
also,
school choice scholarships, plan on working. So teaching your eight-year-old how to work, age mm-hmm. appropriately, and how to make value-based decisions. What is something worth what it costs?
Yep.
And then how to look for scholarships and do things that are not normal that your friends don't do. And so we didn't go on a college tour and visit 17 colleges. We also didn't go look at Mercedes-Benz when they turned 16 because they weren't getting one. So there's no reason to be on that lot because you're not going there. You know, and so, I mean, it's, you know, so we... This is now, if you want to do all that stuff, I'm not mad at you, but this thing of you, these people have a sense that the college system is happening to you when you instead can happen to it. And that's a bigger part of the equation than moving 10 grand to your 529.
Absolutely. Being proactive about it, having these money conversations earlier, instilling these work ethic and values into your kids early on, that makes a huge difference. Talk to them about this stuff. Tell them what the future is going to look like. Talk to them about money and scholarships. And just doing that, they're going to be so much more prepared. That's why we have the student loan crisis right now. A lot of these kids didn't know about money. Nobody talked to them. And the first person that really had an in-depth conversation was somebody offering them a student loan.
It's a little bit mean, and it's one of the few mean things Rachel Cruz says, but she says, we don't really have a student loan crisis. We have a parenting crisis. Step up, mom and dad. Don't let your 17-year-old, your 18-year-old do stupid butt stuff that's going to take them 2 decades to recover from.
Right.
You know? I mean, that's what it amounts to. And that's, you're going to go $200,000 in debt to get a degree in left-handed puppetry or German polka history and then whine because the society owes you a living.
And I need good President Biden to forgive my debt because I'm dumber than a rock.
Well, but it's not even just like, it's sad, but it's also like, these are 17-year-olds. They're inherently like, their prefrontal cortex isn't fully developed. They're not supposed to. Like, they don't necessarily inherently know all of this.
For parents, those of you that don't know, that's their brain.
Right.
It's not fully developed.
It's not. And so it's like, they're kind of supposed to be a little dumb. Like, that's just part of it.
It's part of being 17.
It's part of being 17.
You don't get to choose.
We all made dumb decisions at 17 years old, but they shouldn't have
If you're going to pay $50,000 a year for a college instead of $12,000, there needs to be a real reason, and you need to have the money or the scholarships. So you went to freaking Vanderbilt and got a degree, which is like, what, $60,000 a year?
It's close to 70. I think it's over 70 now.
Okay. And so, you know, we're not saying you all have to do what Redneck Dave did and made his kid go to state college. We don't all have to do that. So there's nothing wrong with Vanderbilt except their football team. So you can go over there and go to school for $60,000 a year. But by the way, Christina did not pay a dime to go there.
Right. And that was part of the conversation with my mom. And she's like, you're on your own paying for college, but you got to get scholarships. You have to figure out a way to pay for it. Student loans, that was an option.
And then you went and got your master's at freaking Belmont, right?
Yeah.
Was it your master's? Is that right? Or are you a PhD too? I can't remember.
Master's. I'm not as cool as Deloney.
Okay. Nobody's as cool as Deloney. But so master's at Belmont. And that's like 50 grand a year.
Yeah.
52, I think, or something. Yeah.
It's up there.
So, I mean, you picked out two freaking expensive schools, but you got $500,000 in scholarships.
Yep.
Pay cash for both of them.
Yep. Well,
telling your business here, girl. But
this
is your business. So
that's why I'm so passionate about it, because I felt those overwhelming feelings of like, how am I going to pay for this education? My mom's already told me I'm on my own, but I'm going to figure it out.
And let me just tell you, no one cares where you went to school out here after you get out. Have you ever asked your doctor, before you give me that shot, where'd you go to school? Nope. Before you hired that lawyer, did you ask them where they got their law degree? Nope. 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 So you need to go to school at a place that you can pay for and that will give you the education that will cause you to go win as like a grown-up and stuff. This is The Ramsey Show. Christina Ellis, Ramsey personality, number one best-selling author of the book Confessions of a Scholarship Winner, is my co-host today. We were talking about student loans in that last question of the day that came up, and one of the things that's happened in the last week or so is President Biden signed into law the new SECURE Act. If you want to see a full breakdown of the SECURE Act, we've got a great article coming out on our website at the end of the week. So be checking our blog at the end of the week, and it's going to be absolutely everything you need to know about the SECURE Act. But there's two things in the SECURE Act that were signed that most of it had to do with retirement. But two things they did that were very cool, that are helpful on this other issue. One is the law allows companies to make 401k matching contributions based on the employer's student loan payments, even if the workers don't contribute directly to their own 401k. So apparently, if I'm understanding this correctly, a lot of companies are helping with student loan debt one way or another out there. It's a hiring process. You know, it's a hiring thing now, a signing bonus type thing. So like you got a match on your 401k. That's a reason to go to work for that company. We'll help you with your student loans. A reason to go to work for that company. So they're making this happen here. And if I'm understanding this correctly, the company can make contributions to your 401k equal to up to $3,000 a year, I believe it was, equal to your payments on your student loans. This is the same president that's forgiving the student loans. I'm so confused, but they're not forgiven. So there we go. And yeah, this is the thing. So employers can match your student loan payments with retirement contributions. This is correct. I'm trying to read the thing. Let's say you get a new job making $100,000, your employer matches 3% on contribution, but you're still working on getting Sally Mae out. Your employer could offer up to $3,000 of student loan. I was right about that. Yeah. So you put $3,000 down on your student loan, they'll put $3,000 in your retirement account if your employer offered that. It is now legalized with the Secure Act. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
There's a reason to do your debt reduction, you know? Reason to get there. And the other one that's even cooler, because a lot of people gripe about, well, if I put money in the 529, what if we don't use it? Well, number one, that almost never comes up because very few people put enough money in the 529 for this to be a problem. Okay. But let's say you've got $30,000 left over in your 529 and you didn't use it. Number one, if you didn't use it because of scholarships, you can take out every year the value of the scholarship. So if you get a $10,000 scholarship, you can pull $10,000 out of your 529. No taxes, no penalties. You just have to provide the documentation. That's already on the books. But the Secure Act is allowing, if after all of that, you still end up with, because you went to a cheaper school and your parents had saved like maniacs, okay, and you end up with money left in your 529, you can roll it. After 15 years, you can roll over any unused money from a 529 to a Roth IRA for the plan's beneficiary. So, little Susie Q, your daughter, has a 529, and little Susie Q doesn't use it all. 15 years later, Susie Q can have a Roth IRA and roll the money into that with no penalties.
This is so exciting to me.
That's a really good thing.
Yeah, especially as a parent. I mean, that's a discussion we've had in our house and just a conversation and a thought process. And it's like, wow, that is a huge change for parents.
Well, it takes away the whining that says, I'm afraid I'm going to have too much in my 529, which never freaking happens. But it could happen hypothetically. And if it did, number one, if it was because of scholarships, you should have pulled it out right then and not paid any taxes, doing what we just told you. That's already on the books. But now this act, the Secure Act, signed by Biden. Thank you, President Biden. Good piece of legislation here. I think everything in this piece of legislation, but one thing I like, we'll cover that another day. Huh. But these two student loan things, one is the employer can now match what you pay down up to $3,000 into your 401k. Nice benefit. And two, this one's even more important. If you had 529 money left over, after 15 years, you can roll any unused money from a 529 plan into a Roth IRA, the student to the student, okay? Not to mom and dad's Roth IRA, but to the student's IRA, which is just very cool.
Yeah, it's another way to set your kids up for success. And again, like you said, to take those excuses off the table. There's not a reason not to save for college if you're in baby step five, you know, and you think your kids are going to go to college. Like, that's a great thing to do, and you don't have that fear anymore. There's not that reason to hesitate.
Very good. Sarah is with us. Sarah's in Asheville, North Carolina. Hi, Sarah. Welcome to the Ramsey Show.
Hey, Dave. Thanks.
What's up?
I have a question about investing or saving. We have just completed funding our 6-month emergency fund.
Way to go!
And we would like to thank you. We're very excited. We're doing the baby steps, so we're looking to increase our investing. But the question is, we also have some savings goals. We'd like to pay cash for our next car,
mm-hmm.
and like home maintenance things. Like, we've been told we'll need to replace the heat pump in our house, which would be several thousand.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, do we just dump into savings right now or up some investing?
We're not. What's your household income?
We are a single income. I now stay home with my children, and we're about right at 90.
Okay. And you're going to be putting baby step four is 15% of your income going into retirement. And then with what's mm-hmm. left over in your budget, you save up for a car and a heat pump. You don't have any payments anymore, remember?
Yeah, we have no payments.
Right.
That's the question. If we dump that much into retirement, it's going to be hard to have much to save for a car.
No. How much debt have you paid off?
Well, we have no car payments.
How much debt did you pay off?
Probably $15,000.
How long did that take you? Over how long?
Probably 2 years.
Good Lord. Well, yeah, you're going to have trouble because you've never cut your budget back.
How quickly do you need this car?
The car we have now is 11 years old, and it's functioning. We hope to keep it as long as we can. We do not want to go into debt for a car, of course.
So it's not an urgent need right now.
What's your house payment?
No. Our house is paid for currently. We're a family of six.
Okay, Sarah, there's all kinds of problems in this math, and I don't know where it is. All right, and I don't want to jump to too many conclusions. My suspicion from my experience is that you're not doing a good job with your budget. You have no house payment. You have no car payments. You make $90,000 a year. You have six kids. Lots of people in your situation would have lots of money left over after having put $1,200, $1,400 into their 401k plan. You don't have a payment in the world. And there should be all kinds of room in this budget to save. Not buy a car a month, but you ought to be able to save and buy one by September. You ought to be able to save and do your retirement. I think you guys are focused on, you get caught up in the busyness of a large family, and sometimes there's some disorganization in the finances around that, and we go, oh, well, we're a large family, we can't afford it. Sometimes that happens. Could that be you?
Like I said, we're single income.
Do you do a written budget every month? Every dollar has a name, and you and your husband are in agreement on it before the month begins? No, you don't.
Yes.
You do. Every single dollar has an assignment.
Yes.
Okay. Then you need to figure out where all your money is going.
Do a no-spend month.
Because, you got $90,000 coming in minus taxes, and you should have money left over to do retirement and to save for these other things. There should be room in this budget. I've been doing budgets for 30 years. There's something wrong with your equation here. Something's missing. This is The Ramsey Show. Sometimes the lessons in life that you get when you screw up, they hurt. You learn from them. You've got the wisdom, and you don't have to do it again. And then you get to do something new that's stupid. But that old stupid thing, you don't have to do it twice, right? That's how we learn. That's how I learn. I try not to do the same stupid thing twice. And after you get older, you've done a whole bunch of stupid things that you'd never do again, so you get to be what they call wise. This is why we wrote the Total Money Makeover, so you don't have to make the same money mistakes I made. You can learn from my stupidity before I learned to do things the right way. You get practical, proven plans that literally tens of millions of people have applied to get out of debt and build wealth and learn the seven baby steps. In my most recent book, Baby Steps Millionaires, you'll also find out through the stories of real people that you can be radically transformed and become a millionaire. It can really happen. Anyone can do this in America, even today. It's not snake oil. It's not magic. It's actually very hard, but it's easier than being broke and stressed. So try it. Anyone can do it. Never too late. You can order the Total Money Makeover book. You can order the Baby Steps Millionaires book. You can order any of our Ramsey Personality books, of course, at RamseySolutions.com/store. Check it out. James is in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Hi, James. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Better than I deserve. What's up in your world?
So I just have a question. I recently started listening to your podcast. My wife and I, we recently moved into our new construction home, and we're just kind of trying to figure out how to budget properly. We're both in our early 20s, and I always hear about the Money Makeover book and also financial advisors, and I'm just curious on what's the best route for someone just starting to learn how to budget properly to go.
Well, welcome on board. We're happy to have you here.
Our ratings went way up. We didn't know it was you.
So are you familiar with the baby steps at this point?
Somewhat, not all the way, but I have my stepmother. She preaches you all the time. And like I said, I just started listening to you guys, and I'd really like to hop on the train and get this whole situation fixed.
Well, I love this. This is what we were talking about earlier with all the acronyms and the new lingo for the people that are just starting out in the tribe. So this is just perfect. So do you all have any other debt outside of your house?
Other than credit card payments, no. We paid off our cars while our house was being constructed. And we had a medical bill that we paid off as well. So we just have credit card payment and house.
What is it? You mean you have debt on a credit card?
Yes.
Okay. How much?
$17,000.
Okay. And what's your household income?
Yearly, it's right around, this year we were at 95.
Good for you. You got a great start, sir. Great start.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I love that you're already tackling, you know, the car, the different medical bills. Like, that's awesome. The 17, that's next. So that would put you on baby step two. We have seven baby steps. You're on two. And that's the next thing we want you to tackle. And you asked about a financial advisor. You know, we've got these things here called SmartVestor Pros. And for a lot of people, once they're investing, we recommend both. But right now, you're in baby step two. And have you taken Financial Peace University yet?
I have not.
Well, we'll gift that to you. And that'll explain the whole system. You'll learn all the lingo and all the acronyms and all the things that we're talking about to just kind of get you really focused and started.
Yeah, this is the class that you should have been taught, that we all should have been taught.
I wish.
Yeah, I hear you. Me too. And so, yeah, but it's going to walk you through exactly what to do. And so right now, what you're going to discover is the largest barrier to people becoming wealthy is debt payments, because your most powerful wealth building tool is your income. So what we're going to do is quickly wipe out that $17,000. So with no payment in the world but a house payment, you got some wiggle room in your budget. Then you can save for an emergency fund. Then you can start your retirement investing, which is where you'll build serious wealth. And you can start saving for your kiddos' college so they don't end up in student loan debt later. And then the next to the last step, six, is we're going to pay off the house early. That's probably going to take 7-8 years to do that whole thing. But dude, if you're 30 and you have a paid for house, retirement's well underway and you don't have a payment in the world, by then you're making a lot more than 90. You're going to be so wealthy so fast, it's going to be crazy in the scope of things. See what we're doing?
I do.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's just a system, a process of what to do first, what to do second, and all of that. And like Christina said, we'll sign you up. We're going to give it to you as our gift to say thank you for being a new listener. We're glad you're here. And it'll walk you through this, but you're going to have it, there's not a path to greatness that does not involve strain. There's not a path to success that doesn't involve perseverance. There's not a path to being different, above average, that does average things. So be ready for some prescriptive things that we're going to tell you to do that are going to feel like your friends are going to think you're crazy. But keep in mind, your friends are broke people. And so that's what you, you know, if you do, if you get that, then you go, okay, I'm going to lean in. You know, there's no pill you can take down at the vitamin store that's going to make you look like a Greek god. It requires unbelievable physical discipline.
Well, and it's kind of like pick your hard. Being broke is hard. Being hopeless is hard. Having no plan for your money and living paycheck to paycheck, that is hard. And while it takes discipline and it might be a challenge to get on a plan and build wealth, that actually has an amazing end result. And it brings peace in your finances. The actual work is worth it in the long run.
So, and tell your stepmother, thanks for preaching. We appreciate it. Hang on. We'll give that to you, brother. And you call us if you got any questions anytime. We're here to help you. We'll encourage you too. Jessica's in Louisville. Hi, Jessica. How you doing?
Hi, thanks so much for taking my call. I have a burning 529 question that I'm hoping you guys can help me with. So my husband and I have three teenagers, a senior in high school, a junior in high school, and a freshman. So all will be, you know, college ready soon. So we've been saving since they were born. As of right now, we have $123,000 in their accounts.
Each?
Total, sorry. They're set up as three separate accounts, but I just kind of look at it as the full amount. So we put $600 a month in there right now. I looked back last January, we were at $128. Since then, we put, you know, $7,200 with that, and now we're back at $123. So my question is, should we stop contributing to the 529 and just leave it for them? Okay, because we're planning on cash flowing the oldest because he's getting pretty good scholarships. We're requiring all of them to do in-state tuition.
Yeah, so that means you got at least 3 or 4 years before you're going to need this money.
Yes. So you think just keep going?
What do you think the stock market's going to do in 3 or 4 years? If it goes 3 or 4 years and doesn't go up, it'll be the first time in history.
That's my hope.
No, really. Three-year bear markets don't exist in history. Go look for them.
Okay, good. So so you think we're baby step seven. So you think just should I pull some out for my one that'll be starting in the fall? Or just
I thought you were going to cash flow the one that's starting in the fall.
Well, I can.
Good.
I can cash flow it.
No, do it. Do it.
You think, okay.
Cash flow. So leave this alone. Let it grow.
Okay, I'll do it. Thank you so much.
I just love that she used the word burning and 529 in the same sentence.
I was going to ask what a burning 529 was. I haven't seen one of those.
I'm like, as somebody who studies college and loves the topic.
It's like a burning bush.
That much excitement around a 529 just gets me excited.
That's right. I have a burning 529 question. A burning question about a 529. Okay, now I got it. Okay. But yeah, that's, that's an interesting thing. It's kind of like when you're coming up to, okay, you're 64 years old, the stock market's down. Ooh, I got $1 million in there. Do I take it all out? Because the stock market's down. No, you're not going to use it all right now. Let it ride. Ride the roller coaster. No one gets hurt on the roller coaster except those that jump off in the middle of the ride. This is The Ramsey Show. Dave here. You can find all of our shows with the Ramsey Network app on your smartphone. It's the only place to listen to the entire back catalog of episodes. Download the Ramsey Network app in your favorite app store today.
Hey, it's James, producer of The Ramsey Show. This episode is over, but check the episode notes for links to products and services you heard about during this episode. Thanks for listening.